Today we celebrate the feast of St. Gregory the Great, and this is the patron saint, incidentally, of our priest, Father Gregory Drayman, whom you know, so remember him in your prayers today and at Mass. Now there are several St. Gregories, as you know, so which one do we celebrate today? This is the feast of the Saint Gregory, who is known as the Great. He died in the year 604, and he was the first pope to be named Gregory, so he is also called Saint Pope Gregory the First. And he was one of the greatest popes in the history of the Church. He made the last decrees pertaining to the canon of the Mass. So the Mass that we have, the canon of it, is the same since St. Gregory died in the year 604. He did many great things for the Church in his somewhat long rule as Pope. I think it was about 14 years that he was Pope. And he is also one of the doctors of the Church. That means he is outstanding, not only for his sanctity, but also for his learning, his writings. And one of his most famous writings is a book called The Dialogues. Now, he called it the dialogue because a dialogue means a conversation between two people. And so this book is a collection of stories that he wrote as a conversation between himself and a deacon named Peter. And they're all very short and edifying stories of things that St. Gregory had seen or that he knew happened in his time. And I wanted to share with you from one section where St. Gregory is talking about, he's telling the stories of many different people who had died. And some of them were good deaths, holy deaths, and some, unfortunately, were bad deaths, those who died in sin. And so it's a good lesson, all of these stories that he tells. Now, after telling some stories, he then tells a story of a young girl who died at a young age, a good and holy death. This young girl was not very pious. She wasn't wicked, but she also had some faults and sins she was not overcoming. And Our Lady appeared to her with many other virgins clothed in white. And Mary asked this girl, "Do you want to join us?" And she said, "Yes." And Our Lady said, "Well, then you're going to have to overcome, you're going to have to start behaving better." And so Our Lady told her, "I will come again in 30 days to take you. You will die in 30 days. And this young girl, in that 30 days, she made great changes, became very obedient and pious. So much so that St. Gregory tells us her parents began to wonder how this change came about her. And she told them what the Blessed Virgin had told her and the command that had been given to her to do better. And then after 25 days, she became very sick. And 5 days later, on the 30th day, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to her just as she said. And this girl said to her, "Behold, Blessed Lady, I come. Behold, Blessed Lady, I come." And as she was saying those words, she died, and her soul departed to join the Blessed Virgin Mary and the other virgins in heaven. Now, after telling the story of this child, Peter, the deacon, then says to Saint Gregory, he says, "Well, it seems to me, as weak as human nature is, and as how many sins we commit as we grow older," he says, "it seems to me that probably most of those in heaven are children." And then Saint Gregory says this. He says, "Although we should not doubt, but believe that all infants which are baptized and die in their infancy go to heaven, yet no point of our belief is it that all little ones which can speak do come unto that holy place, because some little children are kept away from heaven by their parents, who bring them up wickedly." And then he tells an example. This is one of the parts of the dialogues that is often told by many of the other saints. He gives an example of a five-year-old boy. He says, "A certain man in this city, well known to all, some 3 years ago had a son, as I think 5 years old, upon whom, with too much carnal affection, he brought up very carelessly, in such a way that this little one, a lamentable case to speak of, so soon as anything went contrary to his mind, he right away used to blaspheme the name of God." This child, as it happened 3 years ago, fell sick, and he came to the point of death. And his father, holding him at that time in his arms, the child, as they say, who were present at that time, beheld with trembling eyes certain wicked spirits coming towards him, at which sight he began to cry out in this manner, "Keep them away, Father, keep them away." And crying out in this way, he turned away his face and would have hid himself in his father's bosom. His father, demanding why he was so afraid, he said, "Oh, Father, they're coming to carry me away." After which words, straightway, the little boy blasphemed God again. And St. Gregory says, immediately after he blasphemed God, he gave up his soul. And St. Gregory says, "In order that God might make it known to the world for what sin he was delivered to such terrible executioners, he permitted him at his very death to repeat that sin of blasphemy, for which his father, while he lived, would not correct him, so that he who through God's patience had long lived a blasphemer, finally, by his just judgment, died blaspheming at the end of his life, in order that the Father might know his sin, his own sin, and also how, by neglecting the soul of his little son, he nourished and brought up a little sinner for hellfire." And then he goes on, he says, to leave that sad story, he goes on to tell another story of a good and holy death. And this is indeed a sad story that has two very important lessons, and this is why the saints mention it. One is how important it is not to fall into sins when you're young, not to think, "Oh, I have a long time to live. It's okay if I commit some mortal sins now. I'll have all my life to confess them later on." and for parents not to fail to correct your children, as St. Gregory here says, that it's the father's fault that he would not correct his little 5-year-old son when he would blaspheme God. And so the father was responsible for the loss of the soul, and parents are responsible when their children begin to lead wicked lives and grow up to lead sinful lives and perhaps lose their soul. The other important lesson is one reason why many saints and writers bring up this story is to show the importance of the sacraments and prayer and good instruction, even for very young children. This boy was 5, and yet he was capable of a mortal sin. I read somewhere once St. Alphonsus Liguori. He was reminiscing. He said, "I remember when I was 4 years old, knowing clearly the difference between a mortal and a venial sin." And if we know the difference between a mortal and venial sin, it's possible to fall into it. Now, of course, it wouldn't be normal for a young child to fall into mortal sin, but it's very important to prevent that. And this is why it's very important for children to receive First Holy Communion as soon as possible and to go often to confession, and for their parents to pray with them, even when they're very young, to teach the children to pray and ask for grace and help to overcome their sins, their passions. When Pope St. Pius X, 100 years ago in 1910, insisted that children not be made to wait for First Communion, some writers, some priests who resisted St. Pius X said, "Oh, children don't need to receive communion until they're capable of mortal sin." And they said, "That's not till they're much older than 7. But many good and pious writers who knew Pope St. Pius X and spoke to him and agreed with him, they would tell this story from St. Gregory and say, "This boy was 5 years old, but he did commit a mortal sin." And they said, "We cannot wait to give Jesus in Holy Communion to the children until they're capable of mortal sin. As soon as they're capable of venial sin, as soon as a child knows what sin is and is able to be sorry for sin, even if the child cannot yet commit mortal sin, but if the child just knows what venial sin is and can be sorry for it, from that moment, the child, they say, has a right to receive Jesus in Holy Communion, because this is why our Lord gave us communion and confession, is to strengthen our souls as we grow, as we get older, and all through life, so that we will not sin." And what a great blessing Pope St. Pius X did in insisting children be allowed as early as possible to go to communion. And how many children, instead of having a sad end of falling into many sins as they grew up, how many instead became saints and led a holy life? And that's why when some people objected, St. Pius X responded, I believe, to one bishop. He said, "There will be saints among the children if they're allowed to receive Holy Communion as early as possible." And there were indeed, after 1910, many, many children that lived very holy lives. And this, then, is the advice I'd like to leave with all of you, especially the children, please never give up going often, as often as you can, to Holy Communion and confession. From my experience, especially for teenagers, as long as you go regularly to confession, no matter what temptations you have, no matter what trials and troubles you have, if you persevere in confessing your sins and going to communion and begging our Lord for help and in your devotion to Mary, in the end you will always persevere in the faith and in virtue. Even if you go through some difficult times or some sins and struggles. But as soon as, especially for a teenager, as soon as you give up confession, that's the end. And the devil gains whatever he wants. So think of that. And today, as you receive Holy Communion, remember to make your thanksgiving. I see it's good that you stay a little bit after Mass to finish your thanksgiving. Try to talk to our Lord and ask Him to make you a saint, to help you overcome your sins, even though there be venial sins. If we try very hard to get rid of all our venial sins, then that will prevent us from ever falling into mortal sins. Ask our Lord this grace in Holy Communion, and then we'll hopefully, all of us, it'd be a great thing if all of us can be united again someday in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.